So we are going to step out of the book of Romans for this morning because I just so appreciate what's happening when we gather on Sunday mornings going through Romans together. I hear these comments of how God's growing us together, and I just want to sort of preserve that for when we are gathered together. I've been teaching on weekday mornings through the book of Philippians and have been really moved by a particular passage in Philippians, a very familiar passage, something I've even taught on before, but it's just kind of, this is what the Bible does with us. It just elevates us more when we read through it. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 13. And there's a lot here. We're not going to get into every single thing this morning. Typically, if I were teaching through Philippians here, I think we would break this down into much, much smaller bites. But for today, we're going to do this and just ask God to bless us. So we're going to be in Philippians 4, the very last chapter of the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, written when Paul was in prison in chains. This is an important thing to remember. Paul was in chains and he was being guarded around the clock by a Roman guard. And so we have that's this kind of the setting for this. And Paul's writing this letter of encouragement and instruction to the Philippian church. And so we come to this section, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. And Lord God, as we open your word this morning, as we do each and every time, we ask that we would understand that the author, the inspirer of these words, written by Paul, but written by you, written by your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit is with us. And so, Lord God, as we hear some thoughts and ideas about this passage, may the truest truth come from the Holy Spirit, working these words to our good, helping us to follow Jesus more closely, helping us to help others follow Jesus more closely, and helping us to help an unbeliever to follow Jesus. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the reason that I want to look at this passage today just has to do with a general sense that's been going on for some time in the world, in our church, in our community. It has this sense of anxiety, this sense of fear, this sense of unsettledness. It maybe not exactly the same for everyone, but each of us, I think, experiencing some sense of this, and some of us experience it more than others. And we have everything from COVID to the situation in the Ukraine, and even things like that. We can look afar to that, but then, you know, I have friends who has a child who's in the Marines, you know, and so they think of that in a whole different way. We have a neighbor at the church office whose two brothers are in Afghanistan, and then we have, again, COVID, and all of these things that could cause anxiety and do. And yet there's this promise from God that we can have peace and that we can be content. And so that's the things that we want to talk about this morning. So I'm going to read Philippians 4 through 13, and then we're going to kind of break it down into a couple of sections. So hear the word of the Lord, starting with Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, let's just stop there. Let's just look at those verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, that means your gentleness, your gentle spirit, be known to everyone. Or maybe you say, I don't have a gentle spirit. Yes, you do. If the Holy Spirit residing in you, the spirit of gentleness is there for you. Let it be known to you as well as to others. The Lord is at hand. So that means the day of the Lord, the Lord's return, there's a time frame, there's a time set aside for that. We don't know when it is, God knows, but there's a time there for that. But the Lord is also at hand with us. You know, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be there with you through the end of the age. He sent the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and we can draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. So this command, do not be anxious about anything. If the Bible says do or do not, that's a command. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. So, okay, so just briefly looking at this, there's a command to rejoice, and we rejoice if everything else is awful. If you're in physical pain, if you're in mental anguish, if you're grieving, if you're sick and the diagnosis isn't good, if your occupation, relationships, whatever, if everything else is bad and you're a Christian, your eternity is with Christ and there is nothing better than that. And you always have a reason to rejoice if you're a Christian. Then let your gentle spirit be known to everyone. So you know, act right. Act the way that would reflect Christ. He is at hand. Don't be anxious. Then in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now that's really important. And you've heard me say this more than once, that we are prone to being, you know, upset about this one thing. There's something in our life that's upsetting to us. And so we pray, God, would you fix this? I'll take care of everything else, but will you just take care of this? Now, if you have something seriously bad going on in your life, or not even really all that bad, anything, you can pray to God about anything, especially that one thing. I'm not saying don't pray about that one thing. But God says, give me everything. I think when we say to God, or even just infer it to God, that if you'll take care of this, I got the rest of my life handled. Even if we don't say it, if that's just the way we live, we only go to God for that thing, that problem that we're having. I think God may answer that prayer. No, I won't. Submit to me. I am your Savior, but I'm also your Lord. Submit everything to me. Your family, your job, your home, your children, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your friends, your relationships with your neighbors. Submit it all to me. Your time. Then we can get started. And then, with prayer, which is just general prayer to God for who he is, for all of his attributes, his wonderfulness, his holiness, his greatness, his love, his justice, and supplication, asking with urgency for a specific need, asking with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Now, doesn't God know everything? Indeed, he does. Indeed, he does. And yet you must tell him. Oh, why is that? Well, the same reason we want our children to communicate with us. If they've done something wrong and we know what it is, there's no harmony. They have no peace until what? Until they are able to sort of confess it. And we're not omniscient like God. We may not know everything, but often we do know. We know what something that a child has done. We know who took the cookie. We know who broke the lamp, whatever it is. We know what happened, but the real peace and harmony comes when it's spoken, or when a child requests something and they request it properly. They ask politely. They ask the way they should ask. So we want to go to God because he wants us to communicate with him. And then when we've done these things, when we've rejoiced, when we've been reasonable and gentle and kind with others, with everyone, we know that that's who we are because Christ resides in us. And we remember that the Lord is at hand, then we can stop being anxious about things because we're turning everything over to God. Good stuff, bad stuff, all of it. We're turning it all over to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I love that. We might not think we can have peace. God says, yes, you can. Don't let your lack of understanding get in the way, because as he told Isaiah, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. Don't let your lack of understanding get in the way of receiving the gift of peace that I have for you. This is the God that spoke the world into creation, that lifted up a handful of clay and breathed into it and made a man and created the whole human race, created you. This is the God that saved you. He can bring you peace. And that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I can't help but think that here's Paul in chains writing this letter, and here's this guard over him 24/7, right? Watching everything, and just turn that around. There's Jesus over him, really watching over everything. Guarding his heart, everything he loved, all these people, all these churches that he loved, all these Christians that he loved, all those people who weren't saved yet that he loved. And all his heart and all his mind, all the stuff that he thinks about, all the stuff that he had to do, his plans, his to-do list, his being in jail, all the things that he thinks about, all of those things are being guarded in Christ Jesus. He is the one guarding over your heart and your mind. That's just beautiful. So don't ever let your lack of understanding, like saying, oh, this is too bad. This thing is too bad. I can't possibly have peace with this going on. Yes, you can. Is it easy? Should be. I'm not going to say that it is. But God tells us how to do it and how to receive it. Well, Paul goes on to say this. Finally, brothers, whatever. So let me stop there for a second. So I would say that section there, I would call that right praying, right? The right way to approach God, right praying. I don't mean saying the right words in the right order, you know, like the, you know, that the, like the Lord's Prayer is settled out, but just having a right attitude in prayer to come to God. Then this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So if that was, the first part was right praying, then this part is right thinking and right doing. So right thinking, fill your mind with the good stuff, the honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy things. Think about those things. Push the other junk out of your mind. Push the other junk out of your heart. Focus on the good and the godly. So right praying and right thinking, and then right doing. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. God sent Paul. Paul's not bragging here like, hey, yeah, be like me and you'll be all right. No, God sent Paul to be an example. A number of times Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, or something like that. To the Thessalonians, he says, you were imitators of us, me and others, and now you're examples for others. And this is exactly what Paul is saying here. I'm teaching you the right things. You've already learned it. Now do it. So pray rightly, think rightly, do rightly. Verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. So he's saying here that the church was doing something for him. They were sending him supplies. They were sending him finances. They were sending him some kind of people, some kind of support. They were reviving their concern, not that they weren't in their hearts and minds concerned, but their active concern hadn't been shown because they couldn't, but now they can. I don't know any more details about that. But then he says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. Now that's important. We should show concern for our missionaries. We should show concern for other churches. We should show concern for other Christians. We should think about them and be concerned about them in our prayers and in our thinking and in our speaking and in our doing. Not reliant upon getting a letter saying, hey, we need this, but just always be thinking about. Paul was always talking about in his letters that you're always in my prayers. You're always in my prayers. And this is what Paul's saying they're doing for him. They're being concerned for him. They're praying for him. Whatever it is that they're doing it for Paul. And that's connected to him in his need, if he has a need, but it's there regardless if there's a specific need or not. Okay, so need should be filled by others if we can, but that constant thinking, praying, concern we have for other Christians is always there, not based solely upon them being in need. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. I find this so interesting. Paul says, I can be content in any situation. So we might say, yeah, if I've got enough or not. If I'm hungry or not, I can be content. That's not the way Paul says it. He says, I've learned to be content when I don't have enough, when I have too much, and when I have just the right amount. You see, there's a danger in all of those. There's a danger when we don't have enough that hopefully what we would do is call to the Lord. But what we're prone to doing is looking for ways to solve the shortage that we have rather than relying on Him and putting our trust in Him. Now, we have to work for our food. We have to work, earn money, all those sorts of things. But we put it all in God's hands, again, in everything, right? By prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. So, there is a danger in not putting our trust in God when we're in need. But Paul's saying there's also a danger when we have a lot, when we have an abundance. And we're like, oh, really? If I got enough, then everything's okay, right? If the mortgage is paid, if my car payment's paid, if there's a pantry full of and refrigerator full of food, I'm good. Well, there's a danger there too. There's a danger there that we may forget that every good and perfect gift is from above, right? That God is the source of that. The reason in the when Moses delivered, when God delivered and uses Moses as his deliverer, delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he fed them manna in the desert, they could only get enough for one day, except the day before the Sabbath, right? Every other day, they could just get enough for one day. If they took extra, it would rot. What do you think the purpose of that was? The purpose of that was that each and every day they would come back to God, remembering they needed Him for their provision. Well, that hasn't changed a bit. You and I need God for our provision. Everybody in this world, even non-Christians, need God for their provision. It is the general grace of God that allows the world just to keep rotating, right? The sun to keep shining, the rain to keep falling, all that stuff is by the grace of God. If we have too much, sometimes, oh, I'm fine, I'm good, and we can forget God. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. Then Philippians 4:13, often one of the misused verses in all the Bible, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, there are Bible verses that stand alone just fine. This one can, but it was really important to remember the context that it came from. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me is the secret that Paul learned for being content. He can be content because Christ is strengthening him. The Holy Spirit is strengthening him and bringing him contentment. That God is bringing him that peace that passes understanding. This is all connected. It's so often separated, but it's all connected. This contentment and that peace are very much connected. They're part and parcel of a life live with the Holy Spirit inside us, looking to Christ, leading to God. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Doesn't mean I can win the game, I can climb the mountain, I can get the promotion. Now, if God is moving you in those directions and it's the will of God you do those things, then yes, He will strengthen you to do those things. But that is not the primary point of this text. This text says, I can be content. I can have peace in any and all circumstances. How? How can I possibly have it when the world is falling apart around me? Because God Himself is delivering His peace to us, in us. And we can do all things, including having peace, including being content. We can do all those things because the strength of God through Christ by the Holy Spirit that lives in you, is with you, and strengthening you. that's how we do those things. We can do all that God would have us do, all that he would have us do, because he strengthens us to do them. My brothers and sisters, may it be well with your souls until we meet again, and from this time forevermore. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you all the health, happiness, wholeness, all that is peace. Peace with God. May he give you shalom. God bless you, my friends.